as a cricket-loving man of many, many decades, he'd be still in shock at the news overnight. So, Whitey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Half. Absolutely shocked. Numb, almost, to be honest. You know, he was my hero growing up. I just wanted to be Dean Jones. You know, in the backyard and then even playing junior cricket. I mean, we're the same age. We're both 43. So through the sort of the mid to late 80s into the early 90s, he was just everything to me. He was my absolute idol. So, yeah, I've just, you know, I found out the news last night. I thought, no, this is some sort of mistake, or, you know, like, it just didn't make sense at all. I don't know, I'm a bit lost for words. Now, that's very rare, but in this situation, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I could reel off all his big innings. I remember most of them. The 145 at the Gabba against England in the one-day game was still one of my favourite innings of all time. Obviously, what happened in India, but he made a double century against the West Indies at the Adelaide Oval. I mean, you could just keep going on and on and on. And and he was one of those generational players, a transformational player, to be able to do what he did in one-day cricket. He brought that game forward. I think that's going to be the one thing that's going to stand out more than anything else. The way he played one-day cricket, the arrogance, the confidence, the brashness, all those sorts of things. That's one of the key reasons you wanted to be him, because he loved to take the game on. And, quite extraordinary.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt. An icon of cricket through that time, particularly from a Victorian perspective. He was that guy that... And when all the New South Welshmen were getting games, and there was this lone Victorian every now and then out there, it was Dean Jones, and we all sort of clung to him like a shag on a rock, or a barnacle on the bottom of a boat, because he was our man, and he was our poster boy, literally poster boy. I mean, how many posters would have been of Dean Jones in bedrooms across Victoria?
Look, absolutely. You think of the zinc cream on the bottom lip.
Yep.
You know, I had a county bat because he had a county bat. And then there was the move from county to Kookaburra. He was the first person to wear sunglasses in the field. You know, the running between the wickets, turning ones into twos, twos into threes into fours. The charge, just that the lofted on drive down the ground, those sorts of things. I mean, you know, they'll never leave you. And then, as you said, when he was dropped from the test team, which was such a controversy at the time, ahead of a test series in 92 against the West Indies, and Damian Martin took his spot after leading the averages in Sri Lanka. He was left out of the team, and he was 12th man at the Gabba. It just rocked particularly Victorians, because it was just seen as a complete travesty, and what had happened, the cynics as to why he got dropped from the team. It was talked about for years afterwards.
Yeah.
Because he had an average of 47 in Test cricket, or 46 in Test cricket. His last Test match in Australia was against India at the Wacker, where he made 100, and as I said, he went and did well in Sri Lanka, and then he's out of the Test team, never to play again. Never to wear the baggy green again.
Yeah, it was a fascinating end. Of course, we caught up with him in our Legends series not too long ago, and by goodness, I'm glad we did. Speaking of Legends, Adam Ramanauskas is one of those. He's a Bombers champion, a premiership player, and these days manager to the Stars, and he, like all of us, I'm sure, was enamoured with the charisma of Dean Jones as a batsman. Rama, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's a very reflective morning. I just didn't think I'd be reflecting on Dean Jones's life this early. It's... Yeah, it was heartbreaking last night hearing the news. And, you know, when my wife even yelled out that Dean Jones has passed away, you know the impact. It wasn't just on males as kids growing up, but it was, you know, females that love cricket as well. He just had such an impact. And, you know, he was our hope as kids, as a batsman, because like Whitey said, it was filled with, you know, New South Welshmen or then David Boone. Really, and then it was David Boone and Dean Jones that we all sort of loved, because they weren't from New South Wales, and you know, just watching how he played, he was before his time, just in excitement. If he was playing in this era now, with the way T20 cricket is played around the world, he would be the biggest name in world cricket just by the way he goes about it. And you know, we talk about his batting so much, but you know, his fielding. you know, deep cover, deep mid-wicket, the way he used to just roam that boundary, then whip that ball in over the stumps. You know, that's we as much as we wanted to bat like him, we wanted to field like him as well, because he was just so good. And yeah, it's a tricky morning, because we just all loved him. We all loved Dean Jones as kids, as Victorian kids growing up. You know, playing cricket in the schoolyard when you'd play at lunchtime. I want to be Dean Jones, and it was simple as that.
As well summed up as an SMS, not an SMS, a tweet last night going around, and I did laugh, although I was quite sad about the whole thing. When you're a kid, you're Merv Hughes. When you batted, you were Dean Jones. I mean, that was cricket in the 80s, wasn't it, for Victorian kids and 90s. That's how it worked. So that was the impact. Yeah, we all know how big Merv was around the nation and around the world. But Dino was certainly carrying that legacy as well. There's a lot of SMS traffic coming through this morning off the machine, and keep them coming through. Totally shocked. Sits proudly in Victorian cricket's greatest ever team. Morning, boys. Sad morning with the passing of Dean Jones. Like most kids, I grew up idolising Dino. One thing I always remembered and loved was well after he retired. This is great. There was always bring back Dino banners draped over the fences of the grandstands of the MCG. Long after he retired, the banners were still there. That's a great memory. Well done. Well done. Interview
well,
with
there was
Dino
that situation
was excellent. We'll play a bit of that through the morning, Whitey. Sorry, it's, some of that interview we had as part of our Legend series.
Well, there's that time half where he kind of quit and then decided to change his mind and try and come back. And you might remember he tried to come back for that World Cup, and he played for Australia A and got that shocking LBW decision when he was about 30 not out when he was playing against the West Indies. And then he didn't get selected. He got into the 30 but couldn't get into the 15. And then there was that time where he played against Australia at the MCG in the celebration game, where he scored in a really tough wicket. He scored 100 against Australia. And then there was the other game that he had his own tribute game where Plucker Duck was playing and all sorts of things. And then they all turned up to watch him playing that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I got nervous when he went out to bat. You know, I was like a cat in a hot tin roof, you know, like you just, because you knew that if he did well, your day was sorted. Like, you know, it was just, it was so much hinging on him doing well. And it was also what he represented with, I talked before about the confidence and the brashness, you know, going out to bat at number three for Australia, prepared to take people on. Often he wouldn't wear a helmet. You know, the sweatband on the hand, on the wrist, you know, like, you know, we talked many times about the Kirtley Ambrose incident. He feared nobody. And as he spoke to us half when we did that interview with him, he talked about how at times how nervous he was about fearing his safety, how quick the bowling was and all those sorts of things, but you would never have known it. And so, see, I think he was very representative of a young teenager, you know, young boy growing up, just wanting to have his confidence. 59, guys. 59.
He was simply the way he played cricket was before his time. Like from an excitement point of view, it was, you know, Dean Jones and Viv Richards because of just the swagger they had, and you know, obviously Viv had an amazing career. But we didn't see, obviously, a lot of Viv Richards because he was a West Indian. But yeah, Dean Jones was just that. The 87 World Cup, third most runs to, you know, to David Boone and to Jeff Marsh, which nobody talks about. 89 Ashes series, we think of Mark Taylor and Steve Waugh as their real coming out sort of party and them as cricketers. But Dean Jones, second most runs in that series to Mark Taylor. I think it was over 500 runs in that series. Like, it's just... And it's just little things that you reflect on now, and you go, he's just an amazing cricketer.
Let's get some feedback from our listeners. You're welcome to give us a call, 1300 652 927 through the morning, but certainly in this little window as well, or 0416 90 50 52, and the SMSs do keep flooding in. Bobby's in Seaford with his assessment and reflections on Dino. Good morning, Bobby.
Morning, guys. How are we going? It's a sad morning for cricket for Australia and especially Victoria.
It is. Absolutely, it is.
His batting itself, when he played the West Indies, he copped that much short stuff, and he just pulled into the boundary after boundary after boundary. He wasn't afraid of nothing whatsoever. And then he's feeling, like you're saying, from the boundary line, he had one of the best arms you've ever seen. And then, he's running between wickets. I think he changed cricket altogether in one-day cricket and test cricket. And he also got the crowds of the MCG. I think the crowds of the MCG went up 50% once he got a game.
So, I reckon you're right.
That's
Bobby.
A true fact as well. I think when he made that 200 in India, I think he lost about 5 or 6 kilos through the innings. I think if I'm correct, I'm not too sure. But, yeah, he was a legend and he always will be.
Yeah, he was most unwell after that. He talked about that a little well. It was almost mocked, wasn't it, in the end, because he spoke about it so often and the story just grew and grew and grew. And because that was his sporting night story for years, the 210 at Madras and the tied test.
That's still the highest score by an Australian in India, still.
Is that right?
Yep.
Right, eh? Yeah, well, and such an important time too, because we were in all sorts of trouble. And I saw Mike Atherton talking overnight, reflecting on that story and talking about how Alan Border pushed him out the door when probably he had no right to do so. Get back out there. And Dino spoke to us about that as well before, throughout the year when we spoke to him.
One of the great highlights I always remember growing up was when there was the Perth Challenge, the one-day series that was held in Perth, involving England, Pakistan, the West Indies and Australia. And you might remember they wore it was a slightly different one-day international shirt. It had a bit of white in the middle and yellow and green. And he made consecutive hundreds on, I think it was consecutive nights. There may have been a day in between, but that was when he was at his absolute prime. And they lost both of those matches, amazingly. But that was when Pakistan had Imran Khan and Wasim Akram, and the West Indies had who they had on fast, bouncy pitches at the Wacker, and he made 100 in both of those matches. I don't know. It's just I can't believe we're having these conversations. As in that he's no longer with us, because he was a polarizing figure. He's a polarizing figure because he wanted to make sure Victoria was as good as it could be at cricket. He wanted to make sure that cricket was as good as it could be, and he challenged people to get the best out of themselves and for cricket to get the best out of itself. And he spoke his mind.
Yep. Yep. He did.
He would say what often a lot of people thought but wasn't prepared to say.
Yeah, no, he was absolutely happy to talk about things that most people weren't prepared to talk about or analyse it the way that others weren't prepared to analyse it. I must admit, as an admirer and a lover of Dino as a kid watching, getting to know him as an adult and working with him a few times, he would talk to you about cricket as if you'd played 100 tests with him. Yeah. It didn't matter. Like, he knew clearly I didn't play cricket, but loved it. But he would respect you enough to talk to you as if you had played that level of cricket and that intimate knowledge of the game, and he'd challenge you on your thoughts on it. And I love talking cricket with Dino because he'd respect you enough to talk to you openly and respectfully, clearly, but would challenge you on why you saw things that way and how it unfolded in your mind. And then he'd come in with his take on it. It was a great, robust discussion about how and why in the world of cricket. He did join us, as we mentioned, on the RSN Legends Series, and by goodness, we're glad he did. On the 17th of June, so what are we? In September, so 3 months ago. Around about 3 months ago, we had Dino on the line for our Legend Series, and he was talking about his omission from the test team and reflecting on the end of his career overall. Let's have a listen to Dino on the Legend Series.
The communication was poor back then, and I sort of can. The communication was just shocking from Sumo and AB to me. Oh, I did know until 10 o'clock, 9:30, when the team was announced, and then the crowd roared. So they were happy with me being dropped. I said, "Hang on, I've just come off Sri Lanka scoring the most runs in one day as a Test matches, and I never got a sniff back. My career was finished at 30 in Test cricket. So sadly, or 31, and then Michael Hussey started his career at that age.
That's right.
And my best years as a cricketer, as a batsman, was probably 31 to 37. I was making probably close to 1,000 every year for Victoria from then on. But the bottom line is, though, boys, after being smashed by the West Indies in 84, if you said to me, Dino, you're going to play in 3 Ashes winning series, you're going to win a World Cup, you're going to reach number one ODI batsman in the world for 4 years, you know, you're going to make so many runs, you're going to so many runs for Victoria. I'd be thinking you're on drugs, because I've never, when I hopped on the plane back from the West Indies, I was thinking of finding a new job. And the game just turned around. And now I'm coach, and I work as a commentator overseas, and I'm still involved with the game, still love the game. And I just love it. It's been tough at times. It's been a hell of a ride, though. And thanks to this great game, I've been, which I didn't really love as much compared to footy, it's given me a great thing in life. It's been fantastic.
There he is from June 17, Dino, with our Legend Series chat, which no doubt I'll be playing again very, very shortly, or some stage today. You talked to then about his involvement of latter day times, and that shouldn't be forgotten either. His T20 coaching was really successful, particularly on the subcontinent, in the IPL and the Pakistan Premier League and or Super League, whatever it's called. He was a championship winning coach, and his strategy and his ability to see the game, even in T20, a game he never played, but adapt his mind to be able to think about how to gain advantage or stop momentum was quite a fascinating, a great insight into the mind of Dean Jones. And there was a Greg Baum article, boys, floating around last night on Twitter as well, talking about who the next captain of Australian cricket should be. And it was a piece from, obviously, many, many moons ago. And it outlined the criteria, who it shouldn't be, and it went through a list of criteria, and then who it should be, and a list of criteria. And at the end, it was only a small story, and at the end it was just two words, Dean Jones, because of the way that he presented, his love of the game, his ability to confront difficult issues, inspire teams, but also tactically such a sound leader at that time, and clearly since that time as well. It was a nice little piece floating around, which I'm sure you could track down on the socials. He did send me, I just want to highlight this, he did send me a message a month after we had him on in June. He said, just sending some love to your show, mate. It's funny, educational, opinionated, everything with a nice balance. Good job. And I bring this up because of what you said before about that Bicentennial Classic, Whitey. I said, thank you, mate. Much appreciated. Because it was on the TV. It was on Foxtel, those games throughout the last couple of months.
Yep. Yeah.
I said, I was only watching you make 100 v Pakistan in Perth in 87 this morning and loved it. And he came back immediately because he was watching it too, clearly. And he said, I made 200s in less than 24 hours and we lost both games. And exploded.
Well, there you go.
It's 30 years ago, and I'm still pissed off with it. I need to get a life. Like that's the competitor. That was my last communication with Dino,
well, there you go.
A couple of months ago. But he was that guy. He was fully supportive of everyone. He was one of my biggest fans. I must admit, I don't know why, but he was very supportive of me through my time in footy and in the media. So it was shocking news last night. I can't believe it. He's not here with us.
No. Like, I mean, even he talked himself just from that interview about his passion for Victoria and how good he was after his Australian days. I mean, he made 324 in a Sheffield Shield game at the MCG under lights. You know, he made a truckload of runs for Victoria. He was one of the key people that brought Brad Hodge through as a young player for Victoria. And he, you know, Hodgie became the new Dean Jones in a lot of ways. I remember when I was living in England, driving down to Canterbury to watch him play for Derbyshire at the very end of his career. Dean Jones, back in 97, Dean Jones spent a couple of years at Derbyshire right towards the end. So he played a lot of county cricket and helped bring a lot of the next guys through. But he was one of those guys, you know, he wanted to stay in the team. You know, he wanted to get people to knock him out. You know, he wanted people to learn, not the hard way necessarily, but it was, you know, you had to earn your spot. So, wow.
He made you check the Shield scores when he was omitted from the Australian team. It was just, I need to check the scores to see. You'd rush home from school and try to get, you know, the update of how Victoria and how Dean Jones went in the Shield game. It was, we're lost for words, really. We just can't believe it. You don't think a person of that sort of nature is going to be gone so soon. Like you said, Arv, he's sending text messages to you. I was late to the party joining Twitter. He was the first person that sent me a message to say, welcome aboard.
Was he really?
Yep. just absolutely love. Whitey and I were having a bit of fun with him not long ago, weren't we, Whitey? When you put a team together and you didn't have Dean Jones in it, and I sort of tagged him into something, and he responded straight back, and that's just the guy that he was, and he's just got to be missed dearly through the cricket world.
No doubt about that. Michael Clark has just spoken on the Big Sports Breakfast up in Sydney, our sister show up there on their sports radio show. We're going to get to that very shortly. Just going through his numbers, just an overall reflection of his cricketing impact in his time out there in the centre wicket. 52 matches or tests for Australia, 89 innings, 11 not outs, 3,631 runs with a high score of 216 at an average of 46.55. 11 centuries and 14 fifties. In one day internationals, 164 matches, 25 not outs, 6,068 runs with 145 that day at the Gabba, Whitey, which I'll never forget. And that shot that he played down the ground, and Richie Beno says, just reach out and catch it, Jeffrey, from the Coventry box. In fact, I'm going to get Joey to get that. It was floating around last night too. At an average of 44.61, if you don't mind, 7 centuries and 46 half centuries. First class runs, 245 matches, 415 innings, 45 not outs, 19,188 runs, a top score of 324, as Whitey mentioned, for Victoria, which I made in the garage that very same day against my brother, and it broke him. at an average of 51.85, and I retired on 324 because Dino made 324. 55 centuries and 88 50s. And more importantly, well, not more importantly, but just as importantly, in his test career, he bowled 198 balls, conceded 64 runs, and got one wicket. And that, of course, was the wicket of the great Sir Richard Hadley, who he used to mock ferociously because he was the one. He was that one wicket that Dino got in Test cricket. So that's his impact on the world of cricket.
The irony about that was that Richard Hadley was one that had his measure. Yeah. There was one particular series back in the late 80s where he just couldn't play him. And a lot of people struggled to play him, mind you. But that was a great battle between Hadley and Jones.
Let's have a listen to Michael Clark, Rama. Sorry, mate. Just a couple of minutes of Michael Clark just reflecting on Dean Jones and his relationship with him, the former Australian captain, talking about Dean Jones.
If you knew Dino, you knew what happened in Madras because he told you that story about 50 times. And that's what I loved about Dino. He knew how good a player he was. He was so proud of his achievements and representing. I think you wouldn't find too many prouder cricketers that loved representing their state. He was such a proud Victorian, but also their country as much as Dean Jones. And look, I think we will all remember Dino for the way he played the game, the success he had, the entertainment he brought to the game. But for mine, I think the one thing about Dean Jones that was always underrated was his coaching. I've said for a long time, I was surprised he never got the chance to be involved with the Australian cricket team as a coach. Even when I was captain of Australia, I would ask Dino to come into the change room and talk to the boys. One of the things that probably brought our friendship closer together was the way we loved facing spin bowling. And we would always talk about moving our feet and trying to dominate spinners. And I know he did a lot of work with South Australian cricket when Hughesy was playing for South Australia. And, you know, again, that was one of the things that we had in common, that he loved Philip Hughes. And he would always want these young up-and-coming batsmen to go out there and play their natural game. Don't fear getting out, or don't be scared to play your shots. And like I say, I think the success he had as a coach in the 2020 leagues around the world will probably not be spoken about as much as they should, because he knew the game so well, and he had this thing about him that he could bring the best out in you. He could build you up to make you feel so confident in your own ability that brought success to you. Before you even walked out to bat, you were going to make runs because of what he instilled in you. And I have no doubt, again, Dino was before my time as a player. I never got to play with him, but I have no doubt that's what made him such a great player against so many good attacks. He just had that confidence that, you know, he wasn't scared. He was fearless, and he was going to take you on. So, yeah, so many great memories. And Michael
Clark on the Big Sports Breakfast up there in Sydney, reflecting on the impact of Dean Jones.
That that final comment, Whitey, just he was a fearless batsman. He was nervous, as he said to you guys, but he was fearless, walking down the pitch against some of those bowling tacks and just whacking them through covers or mid wicket. And then you can still see it, and I can picture it in my own mind still.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to put a lot of pressure on our digital team here, but for all the text messages that are coming through, because we've got pages of them coming through, what we might do is we might set up a page on rsn.net.au just with everyone's messages. So if you want to pay tribute to Dean Jones, send a text through or send a tweet through or a Facebook post, and we'll put them all together on a page on our website, just so people can pay their respects to one of Victoria's, obviously Australia's as well, one of Victoria's greatest ever sports people, because he was.
No doubt about that. Valet to the great Dean Jones, 27-7. We'll get to a break after that. We will move on a little bit. Lucas Herbert is going to join us, and we'll take some more calls and feedback as well. And don't forget the early mail still to come this hour. And after 7, Dino and Quinny, Dan Lester, the world's greatest form analyst, and Nick Quinn, that guy from the Tab, as we look ahead to Turnbull Stakes Day. A big weekend of racing.